morning. Good morning. Ain't it a great morning outside? I mean, it is nice this weekend, and it's a good time of year to be planting stuff. Hey, y'all, I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing, and for the next hour, we're going to talk about gardening here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. My awesome producer, Java Chapman, and I have thrown open the screen door at MPB really, really wide. So sit back, relax, grab you a nice cup of something warm to drink, and we're going to just talk about gardening. It is a call-in program. It's a live program. So if you want to talk about what's going on or not in your own garden, this is the chance. I don't sell anything. I'm a horticulturist. I'm an average gardener. If it can be killed, I've killed it. So the next hour, let's just sit back and turn this to a sort of a community gardening thing. Stick with us, folks. We're going to do a bit of news, and we're going to come back with a Gestalt Gardener on MPB, and we're going to get dirty.
The 10-Minute Time Out is a mini podcast that brings Mississippi sports stories to life. Join me, Lacey Alexander, as I learn more about the teams, athletes, staff, and programs that make our state proud. One-on-one interviews with influential playmakers paint a clear picture for listeners of how Mississippi sports inspire and energize our community. New episodes released every other Friday on your favorite podcasting app.
Folks, welcome back. Horticulturist Felder Rushing, and I am in Monroe, Louisiana at the fabulous Biedenhorn Museum. It's a wonderful old estate garden here in Monroe, and they're having their big annual plant fest and speakers and all like that. So I'm broadcasting from across the river for those of you in Mississippi, but that's okay. We're going to be talking about gardening. That's all we're going to do the next hour. And if you've got some things you'd like to talk about, what's going on in your garden or not in your garden, just give us a call. Java and I and all the folks at MPB, we welcome you to this garden party we call the Gestalt Gardener. The toll-free number is 1-877-MPB-RING. There's some other events going on this weekend, so there's some things that you'd like me to share and talk about what's going on in other parts of the world. Just give us a call and we'll talk about it. So, Java, how are you this morning, man? How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing fine. Really just trying to look at my map and find out where in the world is Felder Rushing, because you are on the road, man.
I am. Yeah, this time of year, I got a lot of events going on, springtime. Monroe is halfway between Vicksburg and Shreveport, right smack in the middle of Louisiana on Interstate 20. So I'm just west of Jackson a little ways, but it's a beautiful garden. They got a lot of folks set up. They got a plant sale, and it's an old estate garden, very well known, beautiful, beautiful gardens, and they have a lot of it's historic museum also. So anyway, how did we do last week in Clarksdale, man? I mean, that was wild.
Yeah, man. No, we did great in Clarksdale, man. Great reception. Once again, thank you to Ann over at the Collective Seed and Roger Stoll and Bubba O'Keefe and all those people out there. I mean, the Juke Joint Festival is one of those destinations. If you're looking for something to do pre-summer, kind of right here in the spring, it's great. It was great weather. We were outside, and I mean, it was a great time, man.
And you could hear music, and you could smell food everywhere.
Everywhere you go. Yeah, downtown Clarksdale is a nice, is a nice area to walk about. And like you said, smell all the food, hear all the music, meet all the people. It was a great time, man. It was a great time.
Oh, yeah. I love how they have murals on all the walls. I mean, they have some heck of mural artists everywhere. But I don't know if you made it down to the other end of the street from the Collective but they've got this place called Ground Zero. It's a blues club, right? And on the front porch, they've got these flower pots made out of tires, and they're painted white. I don't know if I ever told you, but I made those for a beer apiece.
Wait, you said you? Wait, slow down. Yeah, because I know Ground Zero.
And you know those flower pots made out of tires on the front porch.
And I know the flower pots on the front porch because the front porch is an experience itself.
Oh yeah. Out there. No, I made those flower pots out of tires for a beer apiece. That's been a while back.
Felder, that's a good, I mean, if you need to know historical Mississippi facts, there's one right there.
Yeah, it's so funny because when I'm overseas, everybody, when they find out from Mississippi, they always say, have you ever been to the Delta? And I'm thinking, I flunked out of Mississippi Delta Junior College. I made tire planters at ground zero. That's as Delta as you can get. And they can't believe, we just, you know, in Mississippi, the music, the food, we just live it. Sometimes we forget the people from all over the world. They look past all the, you know, everywhere in the world's got weird stuff going on. But we got music and food, too.
Amen. That was one of the selling points that, you know, that Roger and Bubba were selling down there. It's like it's almost an international scene right in the middle of Clarksdale. You'll run into somebody from Norway, from Sweden, from Japan, just, you know, trying to take up some of that Mississippi Delta atmosphere.
Okay, before we go to calls, though, I ran into a woman from Seattle, and she was looking at some of the events that were going on, and they said, this guy that has monkeys riding on the back of dogs. Have you ever seen that? I mean, I saw it at the rodeo one time. Monkeys on the back of dogs. And she said, is this like a Delta thing? I said, no, it's a carnival thing. They're traveling monkeys and traveling dogs. But she thinks that's part of the Delta. I said, no, that we cannot lay claim to.
Monkeys riding dogs, herding sheep. Can't forget about the herding sheep part.
Well, except the herding sheep, sometimes monkey riding a dog is what I feel like on the Gestalt Gardener, because I'm making a lot of this stuff up and just trying to hang on. Hey, let's slide over to Boonville and talk with Kay. Kay, good morning. How are you this morning?
Very well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm in an air-conditioned room, though, and it's not as humid as I'm used to.
Well, you should be comfortable then.
I am. What's up?
Okay. For 2 years, my son's camellias have not been blooming, and I wondered why or what could we do to help them to bloom.
Well, how far are you from the Tennessee line? About
30-odd miles.
Yeah. The reason I'm saying because camellias, most of the traditional type of camellias, you know, the closer you get to the Gulf Coast, the better they do. The closer you get to Tennessee and into Tennessee, some of them don't bloom well at all. Some actually die. So you're sort of at the northern range of how they do okay. The kind of weather we've had the past two winters, they've been not so much cold. It was cold, but it was cold suddenly. And the plants like camellias, they have to gradually cool down in the winter, get used to it before they take cold. We had early cold and we had late cold, and that affects flower buds. So a lot of times they just, you know, they're just suffering because of cold weather, extreme drought, things like that. Not much you can do, Kay, except prune them a little bit, which stimulates new growth. You know, pruning actually invigorates plants. It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. And then give them just a little bit of fertilizer, you know, not a whole bunch, just enough to make them healthy and put on some new growth. And if he does that this month or next, I bet they'll do fine. You know, doesn't have to prune them hard, but just cut them back, a little bit of fertilizer, and see if that doesn't stimulate some real strong growth that'll set better flower buds this fall.
Okay. We'll do that. And I have one other question.
Okay.
It's kind of a mystery. In my pasture, there is a small patch, or there was, a small patch of daffodils, jonquils, whatever you call them.
Right.
Well, they didn't, you know, they would come up in the spring and all that and flower. And then they stopped. The daffodils were no longer there. The paper whites. It's just like, they just turned into paper whites instead of daffodils. So what would cause that? And, I mean, the patch is far away from any other of the daffodils that bloom up in my yard.
Well, a couple of things in mind. First of all, I was raised with all these. My great-grandmother had 350 different kinds of daffodils. By the way, they're all, the Latin name for them all is Narcissus. So some people call them Narcissus. Daffodil is an English folk name for all of them. Paper whites and jonquils are types of daffodils. What I would suspect is for some reason some of the older daffodils got crowded, and you know, when they get crowded, sometimes they sort of they don't produce as well. They choke each other. So sometimes the older daffodils, they need to be dug up, divided, you know, separated a little bit to sort of give them some elbow room. And it sounds like, and the paper whites have been out there a long time too. the daffodils did not change their paper white. For some reason, paper whites out there were not blooming, and the other kinds were blooming, and now they're sort of swapped around. But they don't change from one time. It's like dogs and cats. You know, they're both four-legged fur animals, but you can't change one to the other. So I suspect it has to do with the weather, and some of those old ones every now and then need to be divided, separated, given a little elbow room, and that's about it.
Well, that makes sense, but it sure has been a mystery to me.
I know it hasn't answered your question, but like I say, you know, my great grandmother's yard, she had all those different kinds of daffodils. Some years some bloomed, some years others bloomed, and I couldn't explain it. Then some of them are just leaves, and when you dig them up and move, you know, just thin them out a little bit, the ones that are left come back with, you know, just like crazy. They just need a little elbow room.
Well, I will thin these out because they have got thicker. And this is an old home place. These bulbs have been here for who knows how long. At least 50 years, because that's how long I've lived here.
So my great grandmother's been gone for over half a century, and some of hers are still kicking. It's like some of them just turned into plain old leaves. And some years, some of them bloom. It surprises because they get the amount of cold weather they need or the amount of rain or something like that. But anyway, just try digging them up, moving around. And I don't know if you've got a church nearby with a cemetery, but take some of them when nobody's looking and stick them out there between the tombstones. Spread them out.
Okay. That would make them pretty.
That's right, Kay. Okay,
thank
well, good
you
luck.
So much.
You bet.
Thanks
for calling.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. All righty. Job, I'm doing something, a couple of interesting things this weekend I want to share with folks. One is I'm going to be doing a program at a distillery in Mississippi. Who'd have thought that? Tomorrow, there's this place down in south central Mississippi near Bassfield. Bassfield is sort of between Jackson and out from Hattiesburg a little bit. But Beaver Creek Distillery is an old farm place. Old farmhouse, been in the family for 140 years or something like that. And they have all sorts of stuff out there, you know, farm animals. They're going to have music and food and all that. But they also have a distillery, and they use all Mississippi products, the herbs and the flavorings and stuff. So it's kind of a unique thing, but it's called Beaver Creek Distillery. I can't give directions to it, but I'll be there from about 1 o'clock to, well, before noonish, till about 3:30, 4 o'clock, and I'll be talking from the back of my pickup truck. So if anybody's interested in this, Bassfield is out from Hattiesburg. And just remember Beaver Creek Distillery, and you Google that, and it'll take you to it. And that's one thing. And then next Tuesday, I'm giving a program in Hernando. The DeSoto Camp is, I can't remember the whole name of the group, the DeSoto Civic Garden Club. They're having a big anniversary thing Tuesday with a flower show and lunch and program and all that. And I'm giving a program there. My program starts about noon till 1, or then I give a talk. But that's in Hernando. If you're interested in that, I don't know how to get information. They don't have a website, but it's going to be at the Longview Point Baptist Church in DeSoto, in Hernando. And if anybody who's from there is listening, whether it's Dawn or somebody else from the Garden Club, can give us more information on how anybody can register for it. But that's Hernando Tuesday at noon, and the Bassfield distillery called Beaver Creek Distillery Saturday, start about 1 or so. So anyway, those are going to both be fun things.
And Felder, in between that, you have a blooming by the river in Natchez.
Oh, yes. That's going to be incredible. I'm going to be on the same stage with Ralph Null and Jim Dale Prince. Both of them, Ralph is a professor emeritus, but Ralph Null and Jim Dale Prince are MSU. They are nationally known floral designers, and I'm going to be giving a talk also. That's going to be Sunday afternoon. Have you got details for that?
Yeah, it's going to be on Sunday in Natchez, and y'all means all Natchez.org. Y'all means all Natchez.org is where you can get the most details. Because like you said, it's a big deal. It's a number of speakers, including yourself, and it's all happening, blooming by the river. This is, and Natchez is just coming up like gangbusters, because also we got the Antiques Roadshow coming up on May. in May in Natchez. So Natchez is it.
You could be down there broadcasting for it.
No, we won't be broadcasting live on the radio side, but you know they will be filming for the episodes of Antique Showcase. Yeah. You can watch them now to see kind of what it looks like. It's different because it travels. They've been to Columbus, been to the coast, and now we're going to Natchez. But yeah, it's all happening in Natchez. Shout out to Natchez.
All right. Well, I've got one more event announced. It'll be next Friday. But before that, let me remind folks, this is a live call-in gardening program. So there's some things on your mind. You know, is something not greening up like you want? Do you have stickers in your yard? You're thinking about planting tomatoes. Did you plant them deep or shallow? Anything like that, if you want to give us a call, it's toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. Glad to really talk with anybody about what's going on in their garden. And I got to tell y'all, mine is jumping right now. For some reason, every year people say, oh, the flowers are extra pretty this year. You know, I've never seen the azaleas bloom like this. They always say that this spring looks great. Well, I can tell you, I say that every year. But this year, for some reason, color is popping. And not just the dogwoods and the Grancy graybeards and the redbuds, but I've got red amaryllis. I've got that gaudy, I don't even know what color it is. It's magenta, I guess. Wild gladiolus. I've got blue salvias blooming. I've got the pink roadside, what we call Mexican primrose. It's so much blooming right now. And I can't bring myself to pull up my pansies and my kale because they're so pretty. But it's time to put in summer stuff like zinnias and basil. So what I'm doing is I'm pulling the plants back. I'm tucking summer plants in between the spring plants so that in a week or two, when the spring plants finally start petering out, I just snip them off and I've already got something growing there. Anyway, hey, let's take a break, Java. I need to grab a cup of coffee. I mean, if you want to give us a call, folks, it is live, toll-free, 1-877-MPB-RING. I want to remind you, you can also listen to the Gestalt Gardener and all of MPB's locally produced programs on podcast. Go to mpbonline.org and click down the podcast. We have podcasts literally from all over the world, all over the country, but it's all about gardening in the Deep South, Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas. Stick with us, folks. We'll be back with more of the Gestalt Gardener and your phone calls right after this.
This is MPB Think Radio. Mississippi is our mission.
Deep South Dining is the show all about the culture of Southern flavor. From fried chicken and collard greens to shrimp and grits and a glass of sweet tea. Subscribe now to the podcast using any podcast app or download our MPB public media app.
Welcome back to Horticulture Spell to Ruskin. Java, you got an important little tribute to pay, don't you?
Yeah, I always want to shout out our sponsor for this episode's podcast, Varicosity Vein Center. Just went off script right there. But the Varicosity Vein Center is sponsoring this episode's podcast. So we appreciate them. And for more information, visit varicosityveincenter.com. Now, Felder, we have a full bank of calls. We only had one for the first segment, but this next segment, we are on and popping. And
looks like we're starting out in Hattiesburg.
Yes, right. Let's go to Floyd in Hattiesburg.
Morning, Floyd. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call. I have some Lespedeza seed I want to plant, and it says it must be inoculated before planting, and I want to know how to do that.
Well, this is a weird thing. Inoculant, and a lot of plants, they grow fine, but some of them have the ability to make nitrogen right out of the air. But they don't do it themselves. It's done by, it's not a bacteria. It's sort of like a bacteria that they put on the seeds, and it grows on the roots, and that's how it converts the nitrogen to from the air into plant stuff. Most of the time, you don't really need it, to be honest. It just helps it do better. And if you've ever done it once, the inoculum is in your dirt from then on. So anyway, garden centers and co-ops and stuff, a lot of times they sell little small packets that feel like, it feels like somewhere between dust and grease. It just feels like real fine dust. And it's just inoculum. You buy little pouches of it and just stir it in with your seeds. If you don't have it, it's really not that big a problem. The inoculum just helps it do better the first year.
Okay, that answered my question. I appreciate it. I enjoy your program.
I got to brag on Hattiesburg. You in Hattiesburg or just near Hattiesburg and say
I live out in the Oak Grove community.
Yeah, okay. I knew it. A lot of people say, well, I'm really from Oak Grove. Anyway, the reason I'm saying, because I'm going to be in Hattiesburg broadcasting next Friday, there's the National Society of the Daughters of the American Revolution. Now, this is the DAR. They dedicated a Patriot's Marker and a Liberty Tree on the USM campus at the Center for Military Veterans. Anyway, they dedicated a tree for the 250th anniversary of our country, and they're doing a dedication next week, next Friday, and I'm going to be there broadcasting from my truck. And then when it's over, I'm gonna make a little speech. But it's gonna be at the Veterans Center. They're on campus at University of Southern Mississippi, and it's gonna be. Oh, I don't have the exact address. Anyway, it's on campus. It's on 35th Avenue. Anyway, it's a Veterans Center next Friday in Vicksburg, Hattiesburg next Friday, broadcasting from the Veterans Center on campus USM, and then love to chat with people afterwards. So anyway, hope to see you there. Come on
okay.
in from Oak Grove.
Thank you, and I enjoy your program.
Appreciate it. I don't know how I got all that in, Java.
But you did.
I don't know. Anyway, it's going to be at the Veterans Center on campus, 35th Avenue, next Friday. I'll be broadcasting there and then doing my program afterwards. So let's go. Let's slide up to Jackson. Talk with Donald. Hey, Donald. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning. Yeah.
Howdy. What's up?
Okay. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You caught me right in the middle of a cup of drink of coffee, though. I'm about to cough. What you got going on?
Okay. Let me tell you. I purchased 2 plum trees back in February. Did everything I was supposed to do with green thumb, and now all of a sudden, all of the leaves are turning yellow. Are they dying, or is it some kind of disease or something?
Okay, did you say plantain?
Plum trees.
Oh, plum trees. Couple of things. When you plant it, this is. You know, I was raised in a little fruit orchard. We grew all sorts of stuff. I planted so many fruit trees. I can't even begin to tell you. Couple of things. Let's do a checklist. When you planted it, did you dig a wide hole or just shove it in a little hole in the ground?
No, I did the wide hole twice the size of the pot. Sure did.
Okay. And you loosen up the potting soil and just, or you just pull out. A lot of people just pull plants out, stick them in the ground, but you need to loosen that potting soil up and stir it into the native dirt. I don't know if you did that or not.
Did all of that. Sure did.
Okay. Okay, last thing. Did you cut it back to knee-high when you set it out?
No, didn't do that.
I know. Nobody does that except for people who grow fruit for a living. Home gardeners just don't understand that. If you look in a fruit orchard, like a peach orchard, they got a trunk that's about 2-3 feet tall and then big old limbs that grow out. Well, they do that by cutting it off at knee-high to thigh-high the day they put them in the ground. What this does is it balances the tops with the roots, because they don't have much roots at first. And if you don't cut it back, they leaf out, and it's a lot of energy gets wasted those leaves. So cutting it back sort of stimulates it, and it makes it branch out closer to the ground, and those will be the main trunks. So it sounds like it is suffering from, assuming you didn't hit it with the weed eater or the lawnmower, sounds like it just got too much top. I would go ahead, even though here it is the middle of April, I'd go out and I'd cut it back to knee-high or thigh-high. Just don't even think twice about it. And if it's got any branches left, thin them out to the strongest 3 or 4 or 5. And those would become the short trunk and the main limbs for the rest of the tree's life. This is what all commercial growers do. So it sounds hard, but this can save it, and it can make it a sturdier, stronger tree down the road.
Sounds great. I'll do that. Thank you so much for the information.
All right. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again.
Okay. Now, Jarver, we're going to slide up to a surprising place for a phone call to Mississippi, but I've actually been to this place three times. It's Juneau, Alaska, the state capital of Alaska. And Keith is calling from Juneau. What's up, Keith?
Hey, how's it going, Felder?
Fine. The last time I was in there, I got a hat at the Pioneer Bar. You been there yet?
I have. I have. Okay. I spend my summers up here and my winters down on the Gulf Coast.
And so you know how common and almost irritating bald eagles can be. They're like scavengers along the seaside there.
What one lands on the top of my sailboat mast every day and uses me as an outhouse.
Yeah, well, I've actually been out on the glacier out there. But anyway, what's going on? What can we help you with today?
So I live about in the wintertime, I live about a half a mile up from the coast in Long Beach. And I have my gardens in my front yard. My neighbor did a bunch of tree removal and brought in some clay fill. And the clay fill is starting to erode towards me. And he asked me if I could find out what would be a good seed to plant this time of the year to sort of stabilize that soil. You know, throw some straw on it and get some seeds growing so it stops eroding everywhere.
Yeah, you're going to need something that grows pretty quick, and about the only thing that fits that bill as far as grass is concerned would be Bermuda grass. You know, if you could get some Bahia grass seed, it's what they have along the roadsides. It's not pretty long, but it really fills in quickly. But Bahia is a good one. There's a couple of other grasses that do well along the coast, but Bermuda grass or Bahia grass is going to give you about your quickest coverage. You throw the seeds out this time of year, and if you get a little bit of rain that doesn't wash away, it should be up within a couple of weeks or so. But there's not much else that's going to grow roots real deep, real quick, and you need something that's going to knit together, and that means something that runs. I'm thinking Bahia grass or Bermuda grass. Maybe some other things, but those would be my first choices.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate it.
I want to ask you some questions. Can you compare the difference between living along the ocean side in the Mississippi Gulf Coast and Juneau, Alaska? Juneau is, people don't realize, you know, that's almost a cool climate part of Alaska. They have a fairly moderate winter there.
They do. It's actually colder in Chicago than it is in Alaska, in this part of Alaska, in the wintertime.
Yeah, Alaska to Mississippi, what the heck?
Right. I just uncovered my gardens up here, letting some of the soil warm up, and I put plastic sheeting over it early in the spring and let all the weed seeds germinate, and I hit it with a tiger torch, and I burn them off that way to cut down on the weed seeds throughout the year.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize you may only have about three and a half, maybe 4 months of good growing season, but you grow the biggest cabbages I've ever seen. I've been at the state fair a couple of times up there, and man, when they talk about cabbages the size of a Volkswagen, they're not much exaggerating.
No, they got to bring them in on a forklift.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you something, and I know where other people want to talk about gardening, but there used to be a place out from – I was thinking about a funky bar out from Anchorage called the Birdhouse. Never mind. I'm dipping back into some bad old memories.
That place burned down, but that looks like that. I know exactly what you're talking about. They rebuilt it in a place called Chilcoot Charlie's. I think that's the name of the bar. But they built it's like a little back of the bar section where they said this is what this bar used to look like. So.
There was in Alaska. There was an earthquake, and the bar was at an angle where you could not quite keep your beer on the table. It would slide just a little bit. So anyway, holler at us when you're back in the Gulf Coast. Let's see what we can help you with.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much for the suggestion, Felder. You have a good summer.
Appreciate it. Okay, Java, let's slide up to Memphis, Tennessee. Let's slide down to Memphis, Tennessee. Talk with Keith. Steve. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
My question is,
when do you prune azaleas? I trimmed them the end of the summer last year, and I haven't had any blooms this year, and so I'm wondering if I cut them at the wrong time.
Well, you could. Azaleas form their flower buds in the spring and the late summer, early fall. But the new, that new growth has to have time to settle out and mature before it happens. So if you prune azaleas past, I'm gonna say around the middle of the end of July or so, better, you know, June would be better. Late May, June, early July is best. But you can prune them as late as the middle of July, and the new growth will have time to come out, mature, and set flower buds before fall. So any pruning after the middle or latter part of July, that branch is not going to have any flowers. The parts you don't prune will. The reason is a lot of times you see a lot of flowers down low, not up high, because people keep cutting the high stuff off. So anyway, to answer your question, you can prune them when they get through blooming now all the way up until about the early July or so, and they'll still have time to bloom. But if you prune them after that, no flowers.
Well, you were right. The flowers that I did get were down low, down in the plant.
Cutting on those. Here's what happens, Steve. A lot of people, they prune their azaleas, and right where you make a cut, the new growth comes out right there, and it'll jump up a foot, 2 feet, sometimes 3 feet tall. So what I recommend is cut the plants back harder than you want sometime this next month or so, let the new growth come out, and in July, snip the tips off that new growth, so instead of shooting up tall, it branches out. You'll have more branches, more compact plant, more flowers. So prune them hard, snip the tips off the new growth sometime in June, and then be done with it.
All right, sir. I appreciate it.
You bet, Steve. Hang in there. Okay, Jabba, we need to take us a little bit of a break here. We got time to talk to folks about what's going on in their garden. But I want to mention this. Yesterday morning, I was out in my yard, and I came across a type of fungus called a stankhorn. Stankhorn. It should be called stankhorn because it smelled a whole yard. Jabba, I swear they had... I'd be surprised they don't have fire engine in the both ends of my block blocking traffic off. It's
that
a weird
funny.
Little thing. Yeah, stankhorn, man. I'll bring you some next week.
No, don't do that.
Oh, that's right. I'm going to be broadcasting live from the Veterans Center in Hattiesburg next Friday morning, so I'll have to say the stankhorn for some other time. We're going to take a quick break, me and Java and the folks at MPB, and come back and talk with you about what's going on in your garden on the Gestalt Gardener. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back, Horticulture Fellow Rush, and me and Java Chapman whooping it up. Java, before we go to this next call, let me mention this. If anyone is anywhere near Jackson this week or next week, the next couple of 3 weeks, the roses at the old Greenwood Cemetery downtown Jackson are outstanding. There was a rosier person who writes for Heritage Rose magazine down there. Anyway, it's unbelievable. Greenwood Cemetery is exactly one block north of the state capitol. You can take pictures of the roses growing between tombstones with our state capitol in the background. These plants are stunning. They're not grafted. They're not sprayed. They're not watered. They are stunning. And if you want to see what you can do with America's floral emblem without having all the sprays and stuff like that, take a look at some of the antique and old garden roses and some of the modern roses that we know do really, really well in Mississippi. Dead people can grow these things. Anyway, Greenwood Cemetery, downtown Jackson, bring your camera. Let's stay in Jackson and talk with Hubert. Hubert, how are you today?
Doing fine, fella.
What's
can
up?
Amaryllis remain in the ground over winter here in Jackson?
not only can they, but mine get thicker and thicker and thicker every year. My amaranths in full bloom. You see them growing around fire hydrants, an area bigger than a tabletop. Yeah, they do fine. Now, some of the really fancy kinds may not be as hardy, but the one we see right now is an old red one that's been in the South for, well, since the 1800s. But, yeah, amaranths do great.
Well, where do you find that particular one?
Well, if you're right around older parts, you know, this is, you know, you don't see them just out in, if you could see it out in the open around an old helm site, then Aunt Mamie could have seen it, and she'd have dug it up by now. But almost anybody who's got that one, particularly the old red one, you know, every year, every bulb makes two or three bulbs for the next year. See, so anybody who's got it, you know, almost obligated to share it with you because they got theirs from somebody because you can't buy it anywhere. So if you're right around town, a lot of times you'll see them in home sites. You know, knock on the door and say, Felder said, would you mind dividing your bulls with me? And the worst they can do is holler at you.
Okay. Back here.
All righty. Good luck on it. Johnson's Red, Amaryllis ex Johnsonii. It's been around since the 1800s, and it is stunning right now. Knee-high flowers, big old red trumpets. So, Java, we got some lines open. The toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. What do you think we can do to get people to call us?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes when you go on a – well, let me just be quiet and shout out our podcast sponsor for this episode. If you're just joining us and you want to listen back to this episode, we really appreciate Varicosity Vein Center for being our underwriter for the podcast episode of today's show. And, yeah, for more information, varicosityveincenter.com. Now, to get the callers, I know sometimes when you go on your rants, I think people call in just to, you know, politely say, oh, we got one coming in now. So they don't even want you to get started today.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me mention a couple of things. Again, I'm going to be at the Beaver Creek Distillery. It's south of Jackson. It's between Jackson and Hattiesburg, Beaver Creek Distillery. I'm going to be there Saturday afternoon, starting right after noon, and I'm going to have my truck there talking to people about gardening. And then Sunday, going to be at the All Y'all Means – what? I can't remember the whole thing. All Y'all Means Natchez.
No, Y'all Means – wait a minute. See, now you got me tripping up. Y'allmeansallnatchez.org. Y'allmeansallnatchez.org. Blooming by the river. Blooming by the river.
Yeah, you do bloom by the river in Natchez. You can take it from there. DeSoto County, Hernando, I'm doing a thing with the DeSoto Civic Garden Club Tuesday. And then next Friday, broadcasting from the DAR, the Daughters of the American Revolution, 250th year celebration of our country at the Veterans Center on campus at UMC. This could be a lot of fun, a whole lot of fun, really informal. And we're going to be yakking about all that. Let's slide up to Jackson, Tennessee, and talk with Caroline. Caroline, been to Jackson, cool town.
Yes, I think I've seen you there. I was a part of the Master Gardener program for years.
So you know Carol Reese and Jason Reeves and all those folks.
Oh my gosh, who doesn't know them? They're wonderful. They got me started on so many different projects.
And this is the Extension Service has got a research extension center there, and they've got demonstration gardens. They have more whimsical glass. They have a wall made out of glass bottles. It's just incredible. So anyway, what you got going on?
I was part of the team who washed those bottles for Jason, so we did a lot of work for that. I catch your program. I'm on my way to Georgia to see my grandkids, and I catch your program every time I go through Mississippi on my way. So I just want to call and say I really enjoy listening to you when I can. I have a bunch of hydrangeas. A lot of them I bought from the Master Gardener sale, but they didn't bloom at all last year, not at all. And I wondered if it was that flash freeze.
It was partly that. You know, we had a – back in the fall, we had a midwinter hard freeze suddenly in the fall early, and plants didn't have time to kind of toughen up. So a lot of the buds were killed from a too early hard freeze. And then we had a mild winter, and plants started budding out really good, thinking it was spring. And all of a sudden, we had that late hard freeze that killed a lot of those buds. And usually, that's about all it is to it.
Okay. Is there anything I'm supposed to give them, any fertilizer, anything at all?
Not really, other than pruning. You know, a lot of people think pruning is a negative thing. Pruning stimulates strong new growth. What yours? They've already leafed out, you know, so I know they already got leaves on them. If you'll follow the tips of the branches from what ended up growing at the end of last year's growth, from the tip down to where it started last spring, in other words, 2023 growth, you could prune a third of that off. Even though it's got new leaves on it, you could cut it back as much as a third or a half, leaving some of last year's growth, and the buds that are there, they're small, they will sprout out and be more vigorous than the ones that are high up in the plant. So cut some of last year's growth back, maybe a third or a half at the most, and a lot of times it sets them back a couple of 3 weeks, but they more than make it up with really strong new growth. Try that.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
All right. Hands on the wheel, lady. Appreciate you calling. And next time you're up there, I know Carol is retired now. She and I are in touch. She's one of only five people I follow on Facebook. She's a real trip. She's one of my heroes. But if you see her, tell her I said, hey.
I sure will. Thank you.
Oh, you bet. All righty. Java, man, what a weird week this has been. I kept thinking it's going to rain. I'm having my house repainted. And guess what color it's going to be?
What color?
I can't tell you because I don't know. It's not lavender. It's not blue. It's sort of it makes you think purple or lavender or something like that. But I put white trim on it. It looks nice and neat. Looks like a normal person lives there. It used to be purple with pumpkin colored trim. Now it's sort of a lavender with white trim. It just looks like a. An old retired gardener lives there now, trying to be nice.
Well, while you, I guess, figure out the exact color, let's go to Josephine in Hattiesburg. We got a couple more callers before we wrap the show. So let's go to Josephine in Hattiesburg.
I'm doing that to you, Java. Hey, Josephine, how are you?
Hey, listen, first of all, I got to thank y'all for helping me out with some tips that I've been able to apply. Java, particularly the least gardener of the two of you, you know, so far. Now, he's getting dangerous with the bacon thing, you know. but so far, he pointed out that, you know, that something that would help me to solve a problem might be to occasionally use something that was a fabric or plastic or artificial, you know, insert. And, okay, and so I came up with this tip of my own. After my amaryllis, near one of the reds that you're talking about, bloomed, and it was gorgeous. But then, of course, you got the stem after the flower falls off. So I took a little bit of this, you know, stuff that Java was kind of talking about. Now, it wasn't even the same color, but I just stuck it down inside that stem like it was a straw.
There you go.
There you go.
It's called a...
And, you know, it's far enough. It's far enough. It doesn't have to be that far away from the road, but it looks to the road, because I went out and looked like it, you know, like, wow, what a gardener.
Yep. It's called accessorizing.
Yes. Absolutely, and kudos to you both. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Java, was she really from Hattiesburg? Never mind.
Let's go to Bill from Neshoba County.
Hey, Bill, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. And yourself?
So far, so good. What's going on? What can we help you with?
Well, I keep on reading to put straw around it as a mulch. And there is no straw to be had within 50 miles of where I'm sitting right now. So I'm wondering, where do you get straw?
I don't know. I mean, what are you mulching with? Is it like a vegetable garden around your flowers or shrubs or what?
Flowers and shrubs. You know, my wife wants to have straw.
Well, most people, you know, is this, you're talking about straw like hay straw or pine straw?
Hay straw.
Okay. I don't know where you get it. And here's something to keep in mind. There's concern lately because a lot of the people who grow hay, they treat it with a herbicide that is called Grazon. Anyway, it can persist and actually cause problems in gardens later. So I use bark. A lot of people like pine straw. I've always used bark mulch because it doesn't take as much, only an inch or two thick. It lasts longer, and as it decomposes, it feeds the soil, but it lasts longer than straw. So anyway, if you can't find straw, I would go with just some bark, inch or so. You put enough out to cover the dirt and add just that much more to allow for settling, and it's only an inch or two deep, and it works fine, and you can get it.
Yeah, right. I can get that. Another question. I pruned my pears, like you said, and now I got all kinds of growth coming up in the trunk. Should I wait until fall to cut that back, or do it now, or?
No, are these new trees?
They're a couple years old.
Yeah. What I would do is I would thin it out. Keep it. You know, try to picture what the tree will look like 10 years from now. You can have a trunk and 3 or 4 or 5 main limbs, and so thin them out now to just 3 or 4 or 5 of the best spaced twigs, and those will become limbs down the road. And just thin everything out. Just don't leave stubs. Just cut it off like it's never there. And all the limbs that you leave, if they've got a bunch of clutter, thin some of that out. This first couple of years, you're trying to get a trunk and a good handful of main limbs, and then you can leave it after that. You know, if you do that the first couple of years, that's all you need to do. Just thin them out.
Okay, great. I can do that. Thanks for your advice.
You bet. Appreciate it. And good luck. If you can't find straw, just give the bark a try. Let us know how it works.
Felder, I like the way you broke that down, because when he was saying straw, I immediately thought he was talking about pine straw, and you know, you could just kind of get that anywhere, but he was talking specifically about the hay and not knowing, you know, somebody who wouldn't know, it's treated in a certain kind of way that you might not want to use it.
This has become the herbicide, it works fine. It's not a poison to people or cattle. But it can persist and cause some problems later. And it's just one of those oddball things I pick up. So we got time to take any more calls?
We do, but I think no, we don't. I'm going to go ahead and pull rank. We don't have any more time for calls.
Well, next week, if you got questions during the week, you can go to my blog, felderrushing.blog. It's not an email. It's like a website, felderrushing.blog. And scroll down, it's got a little font that says email me. And I'll be glad to help you there. Java, I did have a little issue. Had a flower come up this year. I don't know where it came from. I may have planted it, don't remember it, but it's a beautiful red, big as my hand, red poppy, brilliant, rich red flower with black center, and turned out it's opium poppy growing in my front yard.
Wait a minute. Don't say that too loud now.
It's legal if you're a little old lady like I am. And by the way, little lady, I need a backup, trying to be, you know, woke and all that. Little lady is not an age or a gender thing. It's a style.
There you go.
It's growing what you like, where you like it. If other people don't like it, grow home. But anyway, these things came up, and they're just beautiful. But, you know, looking like I look, I can't have something in my yard.
I'm anyway. Glad not too many people heard you this morning. I'm happy about that.
That's okay. I got to go do as soon as I walk off here, they're going to start introducing me in about 60 seconds. I'm going to be talking about gardening. Everywhere I go is talking about not horticulture, but gardening. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing. Java, my awesome producer, other folks at NPB, we always have a good time. But this is the time of year to take a kid to a garden center. Or maybe you've got somebody in your family who doesn't feel like getting out anymore. A big pot full of herbs and flowers. Just one pot is all it takes to keep you grounded, make you feel like you're involved. Taking care of someone is so much easier than a cat. Anyway, we'll be back next week. If you get a chance, get out this weekend and do what we do best, and that's get dirty. See y'all next week.